Welcome to Chapter 17, Buying an Ocean Penthouse.
As we speak, in May of 1976, I have been divorced with two young girls, paying child support, and having a job at Sun Oil. I'm there now 10 years in the industrial sales department. Good job. I now have an MBA, and I currently am making about $500 a week. In addition to that, my life savings of $15,000, as I had mentioned in that previous episode, was invested in Stansbury Mining, a penny stock that I invested 6 years ago, and it is still at a penny. So that is the climate, both socially and financially, that I find myself in. On a day in May of 1976, I had occasion to be driving down at the shore, the South Jersey shore, and it was a gorgeous day. As I drive along the shore, I come upon in Margate, before I go any further, I never bought or owned any place at the shore. My parents never did. When I was growing up, my mother and father, Dad had 2 weeks vacation every summer, and we spent it on a little place in New York Avenue we rented in Atlantic City. And that was the extent of my exposure to the shore. And I love those 2 weeks. I look forward to them for the other 50 weeks. So anyway, I am driving now up Atlantic Avenue in Margate, and I look at this building, and it's a high rise right next to Lucy the Elephant, for anybody that knows where I'm talking about. The place is called the Island House, and on the side of the building was a cloth sign said only two left. So it was a slow day. I figured, let me go. I've never been in a place on the ocean. So I go in, and there's a salesperson there who's obviously looking to sell the last two and I guess move on to another project. So I ask him, to show me the places, and he gladly shows me one of the two remaining places. And of course, they're on the second floor overlooking the parking lot, which you would expect to be two of the last places that anybody would want to buy. So I then asked him out of the blue, do you have any places on the ocean? He said, well, yeah, I do. The owner has one. So he had nothing to do, so we went up. We go to the top floor, 19 floors up, walk down the hall, and he opens the door. And through the door, I can see, right straight through to the ocean, a sailboat out on the ocean. And for some bizarre reason, which I still to this day don't know how this crossed my mind, but I said to him, would he sell this? The place was vacant, it was brand new, the building just been built, and I never went inside. I didn't even want to go inside. He said, well, I will check on it. So we go down, I go home. So the next day, he calls me and says, John Benson, he was the builder, said that he would sell it. I guess the salesman himself didn't realize that. But I said, okay, well, now what? He says, well, you're going to need $500 down immediately. Now, by the way, the price on this place was $81,000. This is in 1976. So it's equivalent to $1 million today. So I go home, go over to my dad's and ask him to borrow $500. I didn't even tell him why. So I borrowed $500. I drove it down. I said, okay, and now what? He said, well, because of the amount, you'll have an interview at Continental Bank on City Line. They'll set up an appointment. So back then, that amount of money, you had an interview. It wasn't like, before computers and what have you. So I figure, okay, so the following week, an appointment's made. I go down to this gentleman named Lopresti. He was a vice president of a Continental Bank. So we have this interview, and he started asking me questions about credit. You know, like, what have I bought recently? And I said, well, I bought a washer and dryer when I got married and from Sears. And I said, no, I mean something, you know, more current. And, you know, each question he would ask me, I started to respond by saying, listen, I have a master's degree and I have job security. I kept saying that. You can always tell when something in an interview, let's say, is not going so well. Well, this wasn't going so well. I didn't get too many of his questions. I didn't answer them to his satisfaction. So anyway, after about 20 minutes to a half hour, of dancing around questions, and I didn't really have much to offer. Not really much of a credit line, and I really didn't own anything. I couldn't put stock up as collateral. They don't take stock in a penny stock. So, as collateral, that is. So, I go home. On the way home, I thought to myself, you know what? At least for about a week, I vicariously owned a beautiful condo right on the beach. And that was cool. I never took any of this serious, really. So, I get a call a couple days later, and he said, Mr. McGonigal, your mortgage has been approved. I said, you're full of shit. Oh, no. He said, we would never kid about anything like that. No, it's been approved. I thought to myself, how in the world? I said, well, now what happens? He said, well, you need 10% down at settlement. You need 5% down at settlement. So that's another $4,000. I can't go to my dad for that. And I did not have any money. So I decided I would tap into the Sunall Credit Union. Because I've been there 10 years, and you know, they're going to get paid because they take it out of your salary. They don't chase you down. So I borrowed the $4,000. So at settlement, I settled on the home, on this condo. The mortgage payment is $548 a month. I'm making roughly $2,000 gross. None of it made any sense to me. But as somebody once said to me a long time ago, never look at the oral cavity of a Christmas equine. So now the next challenge was to furnish it. Well, I didn't have money to buy furniture, so I went to this used furniture place to rent furniture. So I rented just a half a dozen items, TV, a TV stand, a sofa, a bed, and a coffee table. Anyway, when they were going to deliver it, I said, listen, I have only one request. Could you please deliver it in an unmarked truck? Because I didn't want my neighbors seeing me move in to a penthouse suite with a rental truck delivering. So that worked out. So when they arrived, I was there, and I said, listen, let's just go slow and, you know, let's try to make it, you know, two trips or three trips. It seemed like it's more. So the first trip up the elevator, we're going down a hall, and this elderly woman comes out of the adjacent penthouse. There were two ocean penthouses. One faced Atlantic City, which is the one I was buying, and the other one faced Ocean City South, of which this lady came out from. She came up, she introduced herself as Mrs. Benson, John, the builder's mother. It turns out his mother and father were my neighbors. And she said, listen, when you moved in, why don't you join us for breakfast? So I said, fine. So I go in, we get moved in, so I figure I can't go over there too soon, so I killed about an hour to 2 hours just hanging out, before I would go over there to her to let on that we had a lot of stuff to deliver. It took me a while. So I go over, we have breakfast. It turns out that she had some health issues. Her husband was a big-time fisherman, and they had a tremendous radio ship-to-shore contact on the balcony. It looked like something from NASA. So anyway, they turned out to be my neighbors. And from the first moment I bought the place, I'll end this part of the purchase of the ocean penthouse by saying that as soon as I was able to get into a situation where they were going to foreclose, I did. But I was determined that I was going to rent it by the hour, the day, the week, the month. I am going to do whatever I could possibly do to keep it. Now, the moral of this story is sometimes in life, you have to really put the cart before the horse. And this is a classic example of what that saying represents. I had no business on God's green earth, because as far as I was concerned, I was going to be at Sun Oil. There was nothing in my future other than hoping that this penny stock I bought 6 years ago would work out one day. So that's where we were at this point in time. I hope you enjoyed this story. Every time I think back and tell it, it brings a smile to my face, and the story actually gets better. But this is where it begins, the American dream.
Up next, an unexpected phone call.